We're gonna go ahead and read just a few verses. 1 Samuel, the 30th. Now when David and his men had came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against Negeb and against Ziklag. And they had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were with them, both small and great. But they killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city and found it burned with fire, and all of their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then David and all the people who were with him raised up their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. And David's two wives had also been taken captive, Ahinoam from Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of all the people were bitter in their soul, each for his sons and for his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Have you ever been to a place, just side note here, have you ever been to a place where, man, you needed some comfort from some friends and they turn on you? Job had one of those. So here's David, he's the leader. They return to the city, it's burnt down, and he can't find anybody to comfort him. That's why it's a good thing to have the Word of God in you, because there's going to come a time when nobody can comfort you but the Holy Ghost. Right? There's going to come a time where you got to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord's. I'm thankful for people that lift one another up and carry one another's burdens, but David knew he had a source in the Lord. And David also said to Abiathar the priest and the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for you will surely overtake and recover all. So David set out with the 600 men that were with him, and he came to the brook Besor, where those who were left behind him stayed, but David pursued. He and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross over to Besor. Lord, we just ask this morning, we're not pacifists in this church. And we declare over ourselves that there are some things worth fighting for in our generation. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would gird up the loins of our mind. You would put a fire in our bones. You would break off apathy and lethargy, Lord God. You would help us to weigh in the balance what really matters in life. And Father, you would release that generational blessing for generation, generation, and generation to come. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. In this text, understand this, that David, by the way, David had killed the bear. David had killed the lion. David had killed the Philistine. And David had an opportunity probably to kill Saul a couple times up to this point in time. But there are thousands of David's own countrymen coming after him and his mighty men, 600 men. And so what happens is David is exhausted. David's tired of hiding in caves. So he actually escapes over into the land of the Philistines. Now, it's real crazy. You really got to track the story. I'm not going to get into it. David shows up in the land of the Philistines. He gets caught, gets drugged before some of the kings, and acts like he is a madman. He walks in, he's spitting all over himself, he's falling down, he's growling, and they're like, is this the guy that killed our great-great-great cousin Goliath? Is this the one? Well, after a while, they recognize who David is, and David kind of sets a pact with him, and they gave David and his men a city called Ziklag where they can hide out for a while from King Saul. But through the process, what happens is David aligns with the Philistines to the degree that he is actually going to breach something that he would have never done a few months before that. He's actually going to fight with the Philistines against Israel. And so what happens is he is off fighting another man's battle. Anybody ever done that? He's distracted. He's discouraged. He's half backslidden. He is exhausted. And he returns home and finds out of his distraction, that in the process of fighting another man's battle and trying to save himself, He's lost the very thing that he was supposedly fighting for the whole time, which was his lineage, which was his family. He asked the Lord this. He said, if we pursue, will we get them back? And the Lord says this, pursue, engage the enemy, and recover everything. What if that's a word for you this morning? The same promise that he made David in this time right now is the exact same promise I believe that he's making some of us this morning. I don't care if it's a breach between a mom and a dad or a husband and a wife or siblings or children. I believe that the Lord wants to restore family in this house. And I believe he's got the grace, more than enough grace, amazing grace to do it. Our family, listen, God did not come to start a religion in the form of Jesus Christ, nor a religious governmental policy. He came to establish one thing on the earth, and that was a family that reflected the nature, attitude, visage of the King himself. God came for family. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the Spirit is a perfect personification of what he made in the flesh with a husband and a wife and children. You're never going to see God more clearly than when you see a healthy, godly family. Family is the foundation of society. You get that? It is the cornerstone of culture. And it doesn't matter if you look in the world, whether it's Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian, whatever's happening, I'm going to tell you what the root is. Sometimes we're just beating at the fruit. But the root is the deterioration of the godly family unit. I don't care if it's economical, I don't care if it's political, I don't care if it's industrial, I don't care if it's educational. The guise or the deterioration of our society is not happening in the White House. It is happening in your house, and it's happening in my house. Jesus is jealous for his family. He's jealous for the family. The only thing that Abraham ever drew a sword for was in defense of his family. I love what Joshua said. I don't know what y'all going to do, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And what's wild after this, by the way, David does recover all. There's not one hair on any of his kids' head that is hindered, and none of the women are accosted, and he gets everything back. He gets it all back. What happens a little bit later is the crown is delivered to Ziklag. See, to be crowned king, you had to actually go to Jerusalem and let the priests do it there and everything. Well, the crazy thing is, instead of him going to the crown came to him. I believe if you'll focus on your family in this season, I believe God's going to give a new royalty, a new anointing, a new crown, a new authority in your life like never before. I'm going to tell you this. Jesus loves your family. With all this pandemic stuff and everything that we've been through, I'm going to tell you what. I've traveled the world. And I don't say that boasting. I'm saying there's nothing glamorous about it. There's nothing glamorous about living in a hotel without your family. But I wanted to steward the grace of God. I wanted to steward the opportunity in my life. And about a year ago, I was walking out. I'm getting ready to go to Africa almost for a couple months. And my kids are crying and they're waving at me and saying, oh, Dad, don't go. And in your mind, you're saying, my kids are telling me to not leave and maybe do what God's called me to do. And I know different people got it, but I just felt a waning in my spirit because I had seen too many ministers give their whole life to plowing in another man's vineyard and planting in another man's field. And though they led thousands of people to the Lord, they lost their own family and they lost their own lineage in the process. And I'm not just talking about ministry, because everything's ministry. That could be your occupation. That could be your job. That could be whatever gets your attention, gets your life. In this time when we begin to really refine and define what's real in our life, what really is going to matter at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you what. There's not going to be 500 people around my hospital bed when I breathe my last breath. It's going to be a handful of people that sometimes didn't even like me, but they had to love me because I'm their dad and they had to stick with me. I see so many people, their families are assaulted. And some people are looking around and they're saying the grass is always greener. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if somebody else's grass is greener, start watering your own garden. Me and Melanie talk, I never understood why men get handsome and buff and women get pretty during divorce and not before. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning, but it is. I'm just saying, if we would not only obtain in our family, but we would maintain it, we would water it, we would spend time, we would give our attention, I believe we could have heaven on earth with our families. In the last 6 months, I quit traveling before any of this happened. I had to prune things out, you know. But it's caused me to refocus on simplifying. Our ARM conference this year was about the new Reformation. And the new Reformation, every 500 years is a Reformation. And it seems like God takes our religious activity, takes our lives, throws everything out in the front yard that he doesn't necessarily need for the next season. And for me, that was me taking my time away from my church family and also away from my own natural family. Them getting my attention, them getting my time. Me praying for them. In fact, Bill Vanderbush, when he taught, I'm going to stop right there. During Passover, you're locked in. And the kids would take and try and find the little bit of leaven where they're shut away with each other. And they find that leaven and they cast it out. That thing that's not supposed to be there for the Passover. And I'm going to tell you what, this has been kind of a time of my Passover because me being shut in with my family and me being with you all, it's caused me to light a candle and look for the leaven, the things that really don't matter, so I can cast it out of the house and focus on what really does. What really does matter. I read in the book of Nehemiah, in building the walls of the city and the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, every family, they did not subcontract the wall. Every family had a space in the wall for themselves. And when every family took care of building the security and the structure for themselves, corporately and collectively, everybody was safe. I'm gonna say it like this: when your family struggles, we all struggle. When there's a gap in your wall, there's a gap in all of our walls. When one family is destroyed or the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, I've seen it affect so many. It's not just one couple. It's not just one kid backsliding. It's like a ripple effect, a cancer. I believe this. God is desperately wanting to focus on what our primaries are and what our secondaries are. Bill Vanderbush also said this. He said, he believed that there would be no divorce in the body of Christ if most parents would do two things: pray in tongues together and prophesy over each other. Pray in tongues and prophesy. Why does it have to be hard? The Bible, I believe it's simple, it's powerful. It's not that it's complicated, it's that it's unapplied so many times. My wife has rocked my world. We nitpick at each other some. I'm not saying that. But my wife, for the last like 8 months, has been prophesying over me, and it's been messing me up. Now, it doesn't sound like prophecy, but it calls me up higher. Here's what she says. She looks at my daughters, and she says, "Your dad is a good man." And maybe that day I didn't feel good. "Your dad is a good provider. Your dad is a good protector. Your dad's handsome. Your dad loves Jesus." And let me tell you, can I just get frank with you? A lot of days when she says that, I don't feel like that at all. I don't feel like that because, you know, you can look at yourself in the mirror with all of your insecurities and all of your shortcomings and all of your faults and all of your warts. And I'm like, man, every time she prophesies that over me and says that to my daughters, it calls me to go up higher. I'm like, I might not feel like that today, but doggone it, I want to be that today. I want to be that dad. She wants to be that mom. I want to say something this morning. I am so thankful for grandmas. I'm so thankful for grandpas and aunts and uncles and people that stand shoulder to shoulder together. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Luke 11:17, it says that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. Satan's number one assault, his first assault on humanity, was to divide a husband and a wife, and a man and a woman and their God. Do you know he has no plan B? That is his only agenda, his only ulterior motive is to destroy families. And you know what? If we're going to walk and be godly families, you know what? It's going to take a whole lot of humility. The Bible says that pride comes before a fall. A haughty heart comes before destruction. I've learned keeping my family together. I got to say I'm sorry a lot. I got to play with my family. I've got to pray with my family. I want to be that garrison. I want to be that watchman on the wall, protecting the next generation that's too young possibly to protect themselves at this point in their life. I believe there's strategic things that we can do in our lives to help build a strong family. And I do not believe it's rocket science either, but I do believe it's worth it. Over the last 21 years, me pastoring this church, I have seen cycles. Have you, Chip? I've seen cycles where, like the coronavirus, everybody's easily offended. Not everybody, but a lot of people. It's like, where in the world did that come from? What, Brock didn't shake somebody's hand and they're not coming back? I mean, there's just crazy. How many of you know, this is not natural stuff. There is a devil and there's something called spirit. There is a spirit. How you feel and what you think is not always you. I can't keep birds from flying over my head, but I can keep them from building a nest in my hair. And so when these thoughts or these emotions hit me, I take captive of them as quick as I possibly could. I've seen seasons where a lot of people got offended very easily. I've seen seasons where it was like everybody was struggling with back pain all at once. It's like these spirits of infirmity. And I've seen cycles where there was such a direct onslaught and assault to divide family. And you know what? I've seen some of it right now. Like everybody in church, we kind of get along together. But I see that there's things that are arising to try and separate moms and dads and kids and their parents and aunts and uncles. And I'm just going to tell you what, not on my watch. How about you? Are you with me on that? Like David, it's so worth fighting for. All of this, you know, if I pursue and I overcome, will I recover all? What if God says yes and amen to all of that? I believe that he is. In Genesis 1:27, I'm not going to read it, but I will say this. God gives a grace. God gives a blessing for family. We call it be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. That is the power to succeed, if not in anything else, in family specifically. Because God is always Father and God is always Son and God is always concerned with the generations that are to come after us. And so he gives them this blessing, and this blessing is backed up with power. I want to back up just for 1 minute right now. So many times I'll counsel a family or a couple, and I find that I tell them, you got a can of gas in one hand and you got a can of water in the other hand. Am I going to be right or am I going to be righteous? Am I going to get my way or is God going to get his way and everybody get their way? I believe that there's power in that blessing. By the way, the first power I'd say that's in that blessing to restore family is how many know there's still power in the blood? There is miracle working power in the blood of Jesus. You are in a better covenant with better promises. And I know this, that the Lord this morning, he is jealous for our family. The next thing in restoring family or protecting family or developing family, how many know there is power in prayer? There is power. I'm going to tell you what, when I grab hands with my girls, grab hands with them and we pray, the Bible says where one will send 1,000 to flight, two will send 10,000 to flight. It says where two agree on touching anything in my name according to the will of God, I'll do it. And so us being able to pray, and in fact, the Bible says, if I'm having a hard time with Melanie and I go to try and pray, until I get right with Melanie, until we reconcile whatever we're dealing with, my prayers are even hindered. It doesn't, I need God to hear my prayers and I need God to answer my prayers because I am a needy person. Most things in our life are so much bigger than ourselves. I used to think there were certain things I could do without the Lord. The older I get, the more I find out I cannot. I can't do anything. I mean, how dumb would that? That's just youth and naivety that I would even think that. But Jesus, being God himself, said, I can do nothing without the Father. My family planning, I can't do anything without him at this point. Some things I can get in my prayer closet by myself. Some things I can only get if I hold hands with Melanie and the girls. Some things, I'm going to tell you what, we can't get as a family unless we hold hands with y'all. Because we're family with each other. I know some people have said when they got born again that their church family became closer. I've seen it time and time again. Closer than their natural family in some ways. And we're not trying to replace that. We're still flesh and blood with people. But you know what? Spirit is thicker than blood. To have the same heart and the same desire. So one of the power in the blood. We have the power of prayer. There's something called the power of sanctification, which is really powerful. The power of sanctification says this. Say, I'm a believer in a home. And my whole household is not saved. God will bless my house because of my belief in him. Despite how cross-threaded they get. That's why when some people get born again and all of a sudden their family gets crazy, I'm like, listen, this is manifesting because the devil is actually losing ground right now. God has a foothold into your lineage. You've got to stand. The Bible says that the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. And the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the believing wife. Or else their children would be illegitimate. So I've seen time and time again, in 1 Peter it talks about it, the believing wife with her attitude towards the Lord and her love for her husband winning his soul. Now I realize that people have the freedom to leave, get up and go. That's out of your control, right? But I also believe that there is a grace. There is a supernatural power that comes upon our life to reconcile family if we will just stand. I remember my pastor, Marion, he went to go to church and his wife slammed the door and said, go ahead and get out. Broke the glass, went to church, came, and he did this time and time again. She's like, if you loved me, you would stay home. He's like, it's because I love you that I can't stay home. I've got to go to the house of God. I got to worship. And so she comes home, or he comes home after her breaking the glass, walks in, and she's at the sink doing dishes and crying. He says, what's the matter? She said, you should know. Their little boy, Danny, had bad asthma, and he instantly got healed. He was having a bad blue finger asthma attack. Instantly got healed. She gave her heart to the Lord. Listen, if you're serving the Lord, don't back up. Yeah, if you're really going to love your family, really love Jesus. Because I found this, you can't change nobody. But he can change everything if he can change you. If you continue to give yourself to him, he can take care of things that are so far beyond out of your control that you can't even imagine. I'm going to tell you what, sanctification and the power of forgiveness. The power of reconciliation. I went through something a few years ago. How many of you know, the Bible says, if any man think he stand, let he take heed lest he fall. And my family, for the most part, all of them on my side really love the Lord. But the enemy got in some areas. And so there was some estrangement between me and some of my siblings. And there was some separation maybe between my dad and my uncle. My grandma needed convalescent care. And we weren't sure how to put her in a home or to bring her back home with us. And so how many, it gets muddy sometimes. And when you love, passions get high. And so, so there was some estrangement where some of our family members hadn't talked for years. And my grandma kept saying this, I do not know why the Lord won't take me home. I'd say, Grandma, we pray for her. And I'd say, Lord, thank you for Grandma living to be 94. Give her a few more years. And she's like, don't curse me with that prayer. I'm ready. She's like, I don't know why I'm still here. Well, I knew why she was still here. You know what? Because she would not give up the ghost until her family was reconciled to each other. One of our last family meetings, the family gets together, and all of a sudden, it hits the fan. All of us trying to do the right thing, but some of us having the wrong spirit. Passions get high. Everybody's crying, and something broke in the spirit. And all of Grandma's prayers got answered on that day. And people who had not spoke to each other in years are hugging each other and kissing each other and asking for forgiveness for stupid stuff that in eternity would not, can I say this, make a lick of difference. Right now, I'll tell you what, my family is a bit of heaven across the board, but it's because my grandma standing in the sanctifying place as the matriarch and our family saying, you know what, we're gonna forgive. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And God brought healing to all of our family. God's jealous for you all. If some of you have been thinking about quitting on your relationships with each other, I'm gonna tell you, don't do it. God's not gonna quit on you. He is long-suffering. If you don't feel like you can fix them, you know what you can do? You can pray. And God can visit. When I'm dealing with family issues, I get on my face. You know what? Usually the Lord wants to deal with me, not with him anyway. Fix them. Now change that, Dan. Let me give physician, heal thyself. Take the mote out of your own eye, and maybe I can help you see clearly how to help them. I think one of the things with family as well is the power of traditions. The power of traditions. And me and Melanie, we fight desperately to have a date night every once in a while. But I found something that I had neglected, and it was something called the dinner table. Anybody been there? I found I look forward to sitting around a table without the TV on, without the phones out, looking face to face, impartation, sharing, a tradition. How many of we all need a vacation? Celebrating holy days and holidays and taking special times to spend that time with each other and putting it on the calendar. Because you know what? If it's not on the calendar, it's not in writing, it's not real. Covet your traditions. Also the power of celebrating your differences. Jonathan preached on unity. How many of you know we're different on purpose? We're different on purpose. God puts crazy families together. We celebrate who God's made us to be. And I'll say this. When raising kids, make sure you don't compare. Because Chip Jr., he might like to shoot guns. And little Lori Jr. might like to paint. And sometimes parents gravitate towards the one that they're the most like. And this happened with Jacob and Esau. It happened with Joseph and his brothers. And what happens is generationally, they create enmity between the factions. So love everybody equally, understanding that there is a difference in everybody. I want to see families healed.